Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
So everybody, for the month of March, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews. And we know God is a maker of coffee because of the book of Hebrews, specifically chapter 4, 12. So we are going to be diving into this. We're looking at the heroes of faith, the hall of faith, and what faith is all about. And I'm so excited about it. This is going to be a great month. Stay tuned. Lots of exciting things happening. As we come into Easter, we are believing God for that great harvest. Amen. That Easter is going to be a time of great harvest this whole year. And we are seeing so many people receive Christ already in 2025. God is moving. And so we're just so excited about what he's doing. But it takes faith. And this is what I want to talk to you about. Faith, the spirit of faith, the understanding of what faith is. And Hebrews is the book for it. So what I want you to understand about the book of Hebrews is that the audience is, it is written to Jewish Christians. We are unsure of the author. Some say Paul, some say others. So we are unsure specifically of the author. It is like a Pauline kind of letter, but it is not specifically Paul to our understanding. So he's writing to a Jewish Christian community, and there's a lot of persecution and pressure on them to abandon the gospel, to go back to their old ways of Judaism, where there is tradition and rules added to the law that ultimately make grace by faith. We're saved through grace by faith, or by grace through faith, more specifically, get it right. So that is what people are being pushed out of, understanding that God saves us and we believe in the finished work of the cross. The Jews are feeling the pressure to go back to their old customs, which is a works-based gospel. So the letter addresses the struggles of this. It addresses that Jesus is superior to the angels, to the prophets, to everybody else. Jesus is the superior authority. And there's a lot of Old Testament imagery in this book that really the author is connecting to faith in Christ. That's really what's happening. It's about faith in Christ. And the Old Testament points to Jesus. And that's what the writer is using in this book. Here's the key takeaway we want you to get from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is a call to anchor our faith in Christ. It is a call to position our faith in Jesus, who is the ultimate revelation of God. And so we're going to be based today in Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to be unpacking the scriptures, the book of Hebrews over this month. But here's what I want you to get. I want you to get two things. You ready? Two things you need to know. Two things, everybody. Here I am. Two things. Two things I want you to catch. That our heart for you over this month, as we speak into faith in the book of Hebrews, is that your faith would be both anchored and activated. Anchored and activated. This is what we want for your faith. That your faith would be anchored in the Word of God. Your faith would not be flimsy. Your faith would not be just based on feeling, but your faith would be anchored. Your faith would have its grounding in the Word of God. But also that your faith would be activated. That your faith wouldn't be ethereal. It wouldn't be just conceptual. It wouldn't be just cerebral, but that our faith would be risk-taking, doing kind of faith, acting on the Word of God kind of faith, anchored and activated. You got it? You like that? You like that? Does that help you? Anchored and activated. Amen. So when we go to Hebrews chapter 1, I'm in the ESV. Get out your Bible. Have a look at it with me. Grab out your Bible. Grab it. We've got a big screen for you here, but I'd love you to grab your Bible so you can read along. Grab your paper Bible, your digital device, whatever you're using. Go for it. Here it is, Hebrews 1:1-4. It says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, and we are in the last days, that's talking to us in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. That's Jesus, whom he appointed the heir of all things. Everything belongs to him. Everything is his inheritance. It all belongs to Jesus, through whom also he created the world. Nothing that exists outside of the Word of God, who is Jesus. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact, look at that, the exact imprint of his nature. Jesus is the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sins, he sat down. Jesus sat down not because he needed a rest, but because he is in his position of authority, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, the Father, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. How you doing? You doing all right? Anchored and activated faith. And we're going to start with anchored. I am praying that your faith would be anchored faith. It says that in the last days, he has spoken to us. God has spoken to us through Jesus. In the former days, in the Old Testament, it was spoken, God would speak to the people of God through prophets, through messages. But these were in part, these were fragments, these were glimpses of his will. But in Jesus Christ, we have the full expression of God's will and God's heart for humanity. It says, Jesus, verse 3, it said, Jesus is the exact imprint of his nature. This means when you read the Gospels, listen, when you read the Gospels, the way Jesus interacted with people, the way he wept when Lazarus died, the way he healed the sick, the way he addressed the Pharisees, the way he confronted things, the way he carried himself, Jesus is the exact nature. He was the exact picture of God. If you are wondering today what God is like, maybe you're here today and you feel far from God. And we want you to know that God is near. And Jesus is God. So if you're wondering who Jesus is or who God is, how do you find out who God is? You look at Jesus. Where do you find about Jesus? You go to the Gospels. I'm telling you, if you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you study the life of Jesus, you are going to walk away with the exact understanding of who God is. There is no discrepancy between Jesus and God. Jesus is God. Amen, everybody. Amen. Come on, everybody, every location. Amen. Yeah, that's good. Good hearty amen. Now, we need to understand that he's the heir of all things. Through him, the world was created. So Jesus is the ultimate authority. And unlike the prophets would relay bits of the message, Jesus embodies the full message and the full authority of God. What does this mean? It means Jesus is the foundation of our faith, everybody. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is who our faith is built on. And this is what we want, that your faith would be anchored not in faith, but that your faith would be anchored in Christ. We don't have faith in faith. Come on, everybody. We don't have faith in faith. Can I hear a good amen today? I'm liking the amens today. We don't have faith in faith. We have faith in Christ. Our faith is not anchored in our faith. Our faith is not built on our ability to believe. Our faith is not an entity in and of itself. Our faith is not something that we just conjure up. Faith is not a self-help, believe in yourself gospel. Faith, for us as followers of Jesus, is not about unlocking your inner champion. It's not about unlocking just the strength within. Our faith, everybody, is about beholding the glory of God. And as we behold the glory of God, who is the glory of God? Jesus. It says that he is the radiance of his glory. Jesus is the glory of God. So our faith is built on our beholding of Jesus. And as we behold Jesus, we become like Jesus. We become like him who is victorious. We become like him who makes us more than overcomer. We become like Christ. So yeah, are we called to live a big life? Yeah, is God calling us to live a life that's marked by victory? Yeah, is God calling us to live a life that's selfless, that's identified or defined by service, a life where we take up our cross, deny ourselves, follow Jesus, a life where we see the impossible? Yeah, he is. But can I tell you, it's not because we've found it from within ourselves. That bigness, that victory, that overcoming spirit, that ability to be resilient through suffering, that capacity to serve others and forgive and pray and bless and be generous, all of that capacity isn't just from within ourselves. It comes from God. It comes from Jesus, because our faith is in Jesus. And therefore, who do we look to? We look to God. What does Paul say to the Corinthian church? In 2 Corinthians 3:17 to 18, we read this in our deeper campaign at the beginning of the year. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Come on, everybody, there is freedom wherever the Holy Spirit is. And I thank you, God, there is freedom today everywhere we are, because the Holy Spirit is moving. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, who is the glory of the Lord Jesus is, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Hebrews 12:2, later on in the book of Hebrews, was to say, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So where does faith come from? How do you get faith? Faith is not a personality type, everybody. Faith is not a specific elite group of people who have faith. Faith comes from God. Faith comes from God. What did Paul say to the Roman church, the Gentile church in Rome, the church full of new believers in Rome? Romans 10:17, he said, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Where do you get faith? How do you find faith? Maybe you're here today and you say, I feel like I have no faith. I feel like I have just a little bit of faith. I feel like I've not got a lot of faith. I feel like it's not who I am. Can I tell you? It is not about who you are. It's about who God is. How you doing? You get faith from the word of God. If you feel like you are lacking faith, you go to the word of God. You look to the founder and perfecter of faith. You behold the glory of God, and faith starts to fill and define your life. Pastor Phil, he's a great man of faith, and he's written a book called Faith. But the thing I know about him, and I know you know about him, is he wakes up every morning at the crack of dawn and he prays and reads his Bible. And so faith starts to pour out of his life, because he is drawing near to God. And you get faith from God. God gives us faith. You getting what I'm saying today? Come on, you're there. You got it. You got it. You got it. Thank you, Lord, for faith growing in every side, inside of every one of us, in Jesus' name. So we got faith that is anchored in Christ. Our faith is anchored in Christ. But we also need that faith to be activated. That faith doesn't stay ethereal. That our faith doesn't stay conceptual. And I want to take us to a story of a guy called Peter. And you may know this story. It's Peter. It's a boat. It's Jesus walking on water. Yeah, you know it. You know it. If you don't, we're going to read it right now. We're going to go to the book of Matthew. Matthew 14 to 25, 33. 25 to 33, and I believe that this picture echoes what activated faith looks like that we are reading about in the book of Hebrews. The hall of faith, people that were marked by activated faith, and Peter is a perfect picture of this. Verse 25 says, "Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake." That is not normal. "When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified." Probably fair enough. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." The reason we cannot be afraid, or that we have the capacity to not be afraid in spite of our circumstances, is not because our circumstances necessarily change, but because we have the presence of God with us. That's the difference. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat. He got out of the boat, walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, worshipped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." There you go. So, everybody, I want you to come with me. First of all, we're going to get rid of this pulpit. It's gone. Very good. Now, we're going to come with me. Come with me, because I want you to catch what was happening with Jesus walking on the water and the disciples and Peter in the boat. So here we are. We got the boat. Peter is on the boat. Jesus is walking on the water. And it is incredible what is happening here, because Peter sees Jesus and he says, "Well, Jesus, if it's really you, call me out into the water." And I love that, because Peter knew that Jesus would call him to partner with him in the impossible. You got to understand, the disciples had seen Jesus do miracle after miracle, and every time he had involved them in the impossible. Jesus fed the 5,000. How did he do it? The disciples were involved. The disciples gave the fish, the loaves, and that little boy, and Jesus multiplied it. They did their part, God did his part. This is how faith works. And so Jesus says, "Well, come on, Peter, step onto the water." So Peter steps out of the boat onto the water. And I've heard this before, he didn't walk on the water, he walked on the word. And what was liquid became solid, because the word of God is the rock we build our lives on. Peter walked out in obedience to the words of Jesus, and he began to partner with him in the impossible, walking on the water. But here's the key. This is the clincher. Listen, everybody, this is what I want you to get. Don't you love this boat? It's a great boat. This is what I want you to get. Jesus could not get Peter out of the boat for him. Peter had to get out of the boat himself. Jesus gave the word. Jesus gave the instruction. But Peter had to get out of the boat. Peter had to get out of the boat. He had to step out of the boat. And I want you to catch this today, everybody. This is what activated faith looks like. Activated faith is when we get out of our comfort zone. It's when we step out of our safety. It's when we step out of what we know. Doesn't mean we abandon wisdom. We should have wisdom and faith, but we should not be so wise in our own eyes that we shut down faith. Faith gets out of the boat. Turn to someone next to you and say, get out of the boat. Yeah, that's good. Tell him, get out of the boat. This is activated faith. And I believe this is the call of God on you and I as the church. And as our church, as C3SYD, we are called to not stay within what we know, but to step out into the unknown, to partner with God in the impossible. The impossible situations, the impossible scenarios and people that we believe, oh, they would never come to know God. We're going to step out. We're going to step out into parts of Sydney that seem impossible to reach. But with God, what is impossible for man is possible. And this is what activated faith looks like this year. Listen to me. If you're here today and you feel far from God, you feel like you've got no faith. Can I tell you the good news of the gospel is salvation is not about your faith. Salvation is about the object of your faith. And the object of your faith, if you have weak faith, small faith, barely any faith, the object of your faith is strong. Jesus is able to save. And so all you need to do today is cry out to him. And worship team, you can join me. Come on. In just a moment, if you're here today and you feel far from God, we want you to know that God is near. And you're going to have a moment just to simply say, God, I need you. God, I want you in my life. And if you will cry out with just a little bit of faith, you're going to find the saving power and grace of God is there for you. Peter wavered in his faith, but Jesus immediately grabbed him and lifted him up. And that's what's going to happen for you today. So team, join me. I'm going to hand over to you right now. Everybody, we love you so much from Jessen and I. We're going to have an amazing month. We're going to grow in our faith. And stay tuned. There's exciting things happening this month. Love you heaps and God bless you. See you soon.
Thank you for listening to the C3SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.